up your pew Bible this morning. I'm going to encourage you to turn to Matthew 10, verse 3, and then put a finger in there. And then also we're going to go to John 14, verses 15 through 24 this morning. I'll wait for the children to exit here a minute, and then we'll get started. And thanks, Al, for leading that this morning. This morning we are in our 11th disciple, and the last one will be next week, Judas Iscariot, not the nicest disciple of Christ, but we'll get to learn about him. But today we're going to learn about another man by the name of Judas, son of James, not Iscariot is what he's commonly referred to in Scripture, but he also has a few other names as well that you get to learn this morning and what they're all about. And so we see him appear in the calling in Matthew 10 verse 3. And then we see him also interact with Jesus, and he asks an important question in John 14. And we're going to discuss that question today, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to see what kind of a person that Judas was. And let's begin then at Matthew 10, verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Now, you've heard this morning that his nickname was Thaddeus, and so you also will find him as Judas not Iscariot, our son of James in Scripture. Turn with me now to John 14. And so we're going to read just a little bit more of this morning because I want you to understand the context of where we're going today. Jesus is talking with his disciples. We're not that far from the crucifixion. He's preparing them for what's to come. You know, he's saying, I'm not going to be with you a whole lot longer. I'm going to be gone, but there'll be one with you mightier than me. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's not all clicking with them. They don't quite get this. And so this is where we begin. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but belong to the Father who sent me." Reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here in your presence today, may you bless us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we've read from your word, may that word come to life this morning through your Spirit. Lord, we pray for those that have gathered here. May their souls, may their hearts and minds be opened up to your teaching and your ways. Lord, may that same Spirit fill me as I deliver your message today. May these words never be my own, but always yours. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. When God places a period at the end of a sentence in Scripture, let no man put a question mark. How often do we place question marks before God when he's given us some answers, not all answers, of course, but some answers we have for us? Jesus gave Judas the answer, but he still had the question. And here's the question that Judas was so concerned about. He did not understand where Jesus was going with this question this morning. Here is the question. Lord, how is it you show yourself to us and not to the world? How can this be? What will that look like? I don't understand what you mean. And Judas, of course, is focused on the physical aspect of Christ rather than the spiritual aspect of Christ. And so as you look at the life of Judas this morning, we'll answer that question. What does that look like in the world that we live in today? Because not everyone will recognize or know Christ. You don't have to go very far to see that today, do you? The evil that's in the world. Let me talk about Judas as a person first. He had three names. Judas, which means Jehovah leads. Thaddeus, meaning breast child. Or Lebaeus, meaning heart child. Now, all these names suggest that he had a tender, childlike heart. He's probably a very soft-spoken person. He was more than likely a gentle person, humble, quiet, with a very deep and strong belief in Jesus Christ. It's also possible that if you go to the back of your Bible, there's a little book in the Bible right before Revelation called Jude. Sometimes Judas is referred to as Jude in Scripture. There's debate whether he wrote this book or not, or others as well, but there's some belief that this Judas wrote the book of Jude in Scripture. Just a little tidbit for you this morning. If you got your Bible open with you this morning, I'd encourage you to stay in John 14 as we go through some of these things. John 14, verse 19, when Jesus said, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live." That is the point that Judas, his mind becomes scrambled. His mental focus shifts to this question. It overpowers everything else Jesus is saying to him. He's thinking, how is this ever going to work? You lost me here now, Jesus. Very valid question. It sure would have made things a lot simpler for you and I if Jesus just would have revealed himself to the entire world and said, "I am the Savior, I am the way, this is the miracles I perform, this is what I've done," and he did some of that. But if he would have revealed himself further, there would have been a lot more believers. It would have made life a lot easier for us, wouldn't it? And the world to see that there is a Christ, that there is a Savior in the world. But that didn't happen that way. That's the question Judas is wondering about. Jesus, why didn't you just reveal yourself to everyone so everyone will believe, everyone will be saved, life will be great? It's probably his thinking. That might be your thinking and my thinking. If everyone just would have seen Christ, how much better would this world have been? Good question. This morning, because we mess with some of those things, and we think about the evil that goes on in the world, we want to know why. Why? Here's the answer to that question this morning. In regards to seeing Christ as a person, and let me back up here just a little bit so you understand that. So the answer to his question in regards to seeing Christ, a person will first see Christ when God opens their eyes to sin. Did you hear that? You will first see Christ when God will open your eyes to the sin that you have in your life. Before that, you will not see him. You will not understand how he works. More than likely, the Spirit does not live within you. That's your counselor, that's your convictor when you're living in a sinful place in this life. That's when you begin to see Christ. And God changes people one heart at a time. That's how he works. When you begin to see, when you and I begin to see how sinful and dirty that we are compared to who God is, our Creator, we begin to understand and develop the desire to wash ourselves, What do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to be clean before God? Because we all want to go to heaven someday, and we want to be with our loved ones. We want to be with Jesus. We want to have those conversations to those questions that we don't understand or know nothing about. There's only one detergent that can clean your sins, and that is the blood of Christ. And when you pray to God to forgive your sins, like we did this morning, we gather here as a body of Christ, and maybe you sit at home and you do your devotions, you do your prayers, and you ask God for your forgiveness and things that you've done wrong or left undone or things you said or things you should not have said, whatever that might be. When you ask God for that forgiveness, there is a sense of peace, there is a sense of forgiveness, there is a sense of healing, and it all points to Jesus Christ. And when you get to that place in your life, you will begin to see Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's the change that Jesus is trying to describe to his disciples. Judas is not getting it. He's asking, Jesus, how's this going to work? I don't quite get this. And so you got to think a little bit with me this morning on the spiritual side. Go a little bit deeper in your faith walk about those forgiveness of sins and seeing Christ in your life. So let me give you a little example here this morning. A newborn baby. We've had quite a few of those again in our congregation the last few months. A newborn baby's eyes cannot focus completely until they're about 8 months old, before they can really start to see images and understand maybe what they're seeing. As Christians, we are very similar in our faith walk. When we first come to Christ, our spiritual vision has only developed enough that we can only see our sinful ways. We can see there's a need for something. There's a need for Jesus Christ in our life. And when you first come to Christ, did you know everything that there was to know about the Bible and who Jesus was? No, you did not. You knew that he probably died for your sins. You knew that he hung on the cross. You knew that maybe he shed his blood for your life, that he's raised on the third day. So how are you going to learn about Jesus, about his commands, which we read this morning, and about his miracles that he performed in Scripture to understand the type of God that we serve and that brings us healing? And I'm going to say simple this morning. You read God's love letter to humanity called what? The Bible. Exactly. The Word of God. The Gospels will tell you everything you need to know about Jesus, what he taught us, how to live. And the other books of the Bible, they'll teach you how to live this Christian life here on this earth this morning. Remember that. When Judas asked Jesus his question, remember I talked about those infant's eyes? Think about the disciples' spiritual eyes. They are still developing. They're not fully understanding everything yet. They would receive that sight at the resurrection. It all started to make sense. Jesus rose from the dead. Now we start to get it. And at Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, they started to realize, now we get it. The light bulb came on. It's not about the physical realm. It's about the spiritual realm. And about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that Jesus is trying to tell Judas, there's going to come one mightier than me. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, will be with you. It will guide you. It will teach you. It will tell you when you're in a sinful place or you've done sinful things. But there's one thing you need to understand about your life. And most of you know the theologian C.S. Lewis, and he makes it a great point in what he says this morning, and I'll sum it up in these words today. A car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. The human life is designed to run on God and nothing else. his fuel. I'm talking about the Lord's fuel. It fuels our spirits that were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on, come from God alone in our lives. And when you try to draw fuel from other sources, it will be a train wreck for you. It will not go well. It'll be disastrous because you were not designed that way. You were made to run on God. There is no other. I think Judas's mind was trying to figure this all out. And maybe you're sitting there this morning trying to figure this all out and put these pieces together. And if you're not understanding, just pray to God for wisdom this morning that you have understanding. So back to the question, how is Jesus going to reveal himself to me but not to the world? How does that work? And we need to understand that Jesus is always working from the inside of people through the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I always like to challenge you as a pastor. Here's your challenge today. What are you doing in your life that Jesus can reveal himself to you? Where does he become real in your life? Where do you see him working? How is he working through your life? Would be some questions that I could ask you this morning. Let me share another little story with you this morning to kind of put things into context and help you to understand. This story is about a 10-year-old boy who had a dog that he loved dearly. One time his dog ran away from home and he was gone for about 3 weeks. And one afternoon this young boy was playing out in the front yard. He lived out on the farm. And there he saw his dog coming at him down the gravel road. The boy was excited to see his dog. Couldn't wait to pet him and see how he was doing. But he noticed the dog walked very strangely. It was starting to foam at the mouth. The boy recognized that the dog had rabies. He ran inside and he got his shotgun. And as the dog approached, the dog ran toward him with his teeth showing and growling. And the boy closed his eyes and he squeezed the trigger. The young boy knew there was no other solution to this problem. See, that boy recognized immediately the dog that left home became a different dog when he came back. This morning, this is the question I want you to think about. How do we recognize true Christians in the midst of an evil world that we live in today? What are the signs? What are the actions? How do we know the truth or not? And I have some of those for you today. These are the people, the ones who are constantly trying to please God. Their lives are seasoned with a sweet spirit, and they are constantly in His Word. They know it well. They understand how they should live. You see, that same kind of sweet spirit that we see in Christians today, I believe, was the same type of person that Judas was in his life as he walked on this earth. Remember I described him to you? He was humble. He was quiet. Maybe a little reserved. He didn't get everything up in a giddy and get all excited about stuff. He didn't holler out or get angry or mad. He had a sweet spirit about him. Jesus said in verse 21, if you still have your book open, your Bible open to John 14, the ones who know and keep his commandments are the true Christ followers. Now there's a lot to go in through there because we can't keep everything and we fall short of that. And that's God's grace that fills in those gaps for us. But that's what Jesus says. But let me also tell you, when he talks about keep his commandments, the Greek word for keep is also guard. Guard. Let me explain that to you this morning. That young boy guarded his house with that angry dog, right? He didn't want it to approach. He didn't want it to bite other animals or maybe other people in his family or himself. And so he did what he had to do to take care of the problem. Christians Christ followers, this morning, you and I, we need to guard our lives and hearts with the Word of God, because there is somebody way angrier than a rabid dog out there that wants to eat you alive, and that is Satan. Your gun is the Word of God. Your defense is the Word of God. So here's an easy way for you to remember to guard your heart with the Word of God. This is not my doing. I found this as I was studying this work. In that green box on the screen, if you look down, they call it an acrostic, you'll see God's ultimate authority, read daily. Guard your life with it. Pretty simple to remember. I think it's on your outline as well in the back of it. You can take that home with you this morning. Remember that, to guard your hearts and your life. Now, there are two things that Jesus is highlighting in this passage for us to know, to see him as we live our life. These are the two things that he's trying to get across to his disciples. In order to see Christ in your life, you need to love him and you need to obey his word. Think about that in your life. Okay? Now, we just got done reading the Ten Commandments this morning and how we're supposed to obey those things. And some of those things are pretty rigid and hard, and you're not always going to do so well, neither am I. But thank goodness for Jesus Christ in our lives. But let me share with you some other things. If you have your outline with you this morning, flip that thing over, and you'll see a whole list of Bible verses. Everybody see that this morning? Now, I'm not going to read all of those, because you need something to do this week as you're studying the Word of God in your life. But let me point out a few things that Christ commands us to do and the way we should live our lives. Think about the context of guarding your heart. Think about the context that you need to be able to guard your house, guard your family, and you need to guard your heart because you want to go to heaven someday through Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus teaches us. Now, I'm just going to pull a few of them out here. Matthew 5, 22 through 24, reconcile with your brother or sister. If you have a problem, make it right. Forgive them. Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies. Matthew 5, verse 6, 5 through 7, pray. Matthew 6, verse 19, do not lay up treasures on earth but in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 12, treat others the way you want to be treated. Matthew 22, verse 37, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Do you get the picture? This is how God wants you to live. And when you begin to see these things in other people, you begin to see that these are true believers in Christ. That's the point that Jesus wants to make with us this morning. So let me ask you another question today. So then why doesn't the world see Jesus? You know a lot of people out there that are probably not churched, that might not be believers in Jesus Christ. Why doesn't the world see him? Great question. Why did Satan fall from heaven? Does anybody know that answer from Scripture? Pride. Exactly. Pride. Satan thought that he wanted his throne above God. Satan was created by God. The most beautiful angel out of all creation was Lucifer, or Satan. And pride entered into his life, and he thought that he should be above God and rule this earth and rule this universe. And God said, no, that isn't going to happen. And he kicked him out to earth. And now he torments you and I every day. But don't worry, you have a way back through Jesus. But think about that pride. Many people have this same kind of pride in their lives. And I believe that people don't see Christ or come to Christ for three main reasons today. Let me just share these with you briefly today. You ponder on these things. If pride is one of the issues, and believe me, people, pride enters into our lives as well. Man, we get pretty proud of the things we've done, or our families, or what we've accomplished, or the things we own. right? We get pride enters into those things. But let me talk to you about those three things real quick. The first one is submission. People want to be gods of their own life. They want to be in control. They don't want no one else telling them what to do. That's a hard heart when people live like that. You might know people like that. Surely it can't be you, right? Yeah, where we got that hard heart and we don't listen to anybody else. It's always our way. Submission. People won't submit to the authority of God in their lives. And people don't like being held accountable, especially in the society we live in today. The second reason many don't come to Christ or they don't see Christ in their lives, because they do not give themselves permission. And you might say, what do you mean by that? Let me tell you what that means. We do not give God the ability or the permission to save us from what our problems are, the things that we're dealing with. We think that we can figure it out on ourselves, or maybe our own way is better than God's way. And so we don't give God permission to come into our life and say, change this for me, because you might be too scared of what might or could happen. Because change is scary. And so we don't give God permission to do those things in our lives. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning that you need to get over your guilt. You need to realize that God knows everything already anyway, the good and the bad in your life. It's no surprise to Him. But let me encourage you this morning, there's nothing too bad you and I have done that God can't forgive. That's good news. The final reason people don't give their lives to Christ is because of omission. Omission means that you've made a mistake. And instead of going back and making it right and asking for forgiveness, we like to neglect those things and not bring them up and don't talk about them. So we kind of omit them. Like, oh, I'm done with that. Not going to deal with that anymore. But you need to realize when we stand before God, no one will make an excuse. You cannot plead ignorance with Jesus Christ and God on Judgment Day. God has made Himself visible through our creation, and He works in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Let me finish up with this today. If Jesus commands you and I to spend time in His Word, then why don't we spend more time in the Word of God? And I don't mean that as a shameful thing this morning. I mean that as a way to lift us up and encourage us. You've heard what Jesus expects from us today. Get to know the Word of God. We can't neglect it. How many of you ever heard of the Pony Express before? Anybody ever heard of the Pony Express before? Let me tell you a little story about the Pony Express that you maybe never knew or understood. I didn't know this till I came across this story this week. Years ago in this country, there was a group of riders called the Pony Express. Their charge was to deliver mail, important letters, across the country throughout the United States. And this Pony Express line ran from St. Joe, Missouri, to Sacramento, California, distance of 1,900 miles. In that day, they could deliver a piece of mail from St. Joe, Missouri, which is just south of here, to Sacramento, California in 10 days. By horse. Let me talk to you about the horse and the man that was on them. To conserve weight, the men wore very little or tight, light clothing. They wore thin saddles that were not very comfortable. Usually they carried no weapon with them for the simple weight of being able to ride fast and get where they needed to go. The letters had to meet certain criteria. They had to be wrote on thin paper. But get this. Every rider carried a full-sized Bible. Every rider. When they were hired on as a Pony Express rider, they were given a Bible to take with them. These men rode as their lives depended on it. They forsook heavy clothing and comfortable saddles, but they carried the full-size Word of God with them. What does that say concerning the importance these men placed on the Word of God? It was the most important thing in their life. Jesus was the most important thing in Judas's life. He got that. He understood that. May Jesus and the Word of God be the most important thing in your life. And all of God's people said,